Yeah,
it is. Yeah, it is touchy.
Well, the mustache thing was okay, but being afraid of,
you know, kind of fucked up. That is fucked up. It's just kid shit, you know.
Yeah. I love how brave children are.
Yeah.
I wish
it's not even bravery. They just,
the world would be a better place if we were all truthful.
As you get older, you get scared to do things because you're older. Like, you know better. And kids don't know better, so they do anything. That's why when they fall down a flight of stairs, you can laugh at them, and then they start laughing because they don't know that they just
self-awareness
broke
thing.
Their entire arm.
Here's a shot for you, Madzian.
Yay. We're drinking bamboo.
Our guest brought it.
We have a shot caller today.
We haven't had one.
I am the shot caller. I am
Catrell. In the mic, please.
In the mic.
Oh, sorry. Can you hear me now? Good. Okay, we're on.
Oh. So we are drinking bamboo.
This is
the
rum.
Shot caller brought us rum. And let's cheers it in before we introduce ourselves. Cheers. Yes, to you too.
You gonna put the thing on silent or what?
Okay. First of all, welcome. This is Cocktail Murder.
Yes, I'm Taj.
I'm Honey. We drink, we talk about murder. We did not release an episode last week in observance of the holidays and observance of Thanksgiving. We decided, why not?
Even though Thanksgiving is this week and was not last week.
Exactly.
Let's keep it a buck. It was life. Okay. Life.
You know what? Life is why. It's one of those things where you feel like life weighs on you and you just kind of need a break for yourself. To me,
that's a nice way to put it.
Right. Yeah. And then you take a look at what direction you want to go in. And you know what? When we took our break, we took Cocktail Murder in a different direction that started working. So for our newcomers on TikTok, welcome. This is Cocktail Murder.
Who the fuck knew that TikTok?
Who would have thought that you guys would fuck with us? Like, honestly.
Honestly.
Honestly. And you guys truly fuck with us. And we appreciate you. I just want to shout out to our OGs from Instagram. You guys have always been rocking with us. You guys have always been here. So thank you for that. And I'm glad to grow with you guys. It's exciting because we're growing and once again, thank you to our TikTokers who are listening to us and helping us bring a Cocktail Murder to life and take it in the direction that we always knew it would go in.
We are gearing up for 2022. So we're really excited to see that you guys are really fucking with us. And hopefully soon we can see you guys in person.
Exactly. What we do for those of you who are new here, of course, we drink. Emphasis on cocktail, and we talk about true crime cases, but specifically we highlight Black victims and people of color victims because oftentimes our stories are undertold, underreported, and we just shed light on these cases. Mm-hmm. Let's be honest, you guys know about the true crime community, and we rarely see anyone talk about these cases or the people who are in our community. So we are here. We share this platform specifically for that. So. Mm-hmm. That's what Cocktail Murder is about.
And if you're new here, we start off our episodes with a little belligerent.
Yes.
Which means we get to talk a little bit of shit
after while we're drunk.
Take our shot. We did introduce our shot caller today.
Yeah.
And I guess I didn't have anything really specific that we like a topic to talk about. Before we get into the funny shit, I wanted to get into Ahmaud Arbery and his murderers were found guilty. All three of them were found guilty today. Mm-hmm. If you guys don't remember, Ahmaud Arbery was from Georgia, mm-hmm. And he was jogging down the street, and a white man decided that he shouldn't be jogging down that street, I guess.
In the daylight.
It was, it was in the daytime.
As he was wearing a jogging outfit.
Like, it was like really crazy. And it was actually like a really crazy story because he tried to do like the stand your ground law, even though Ahmaud Arbery wasn't doing anything. And then it was actually like kind of covered by that small county sheriff. Mm-hmm. For a long time, and it wasn't until like a year later it was put out into the news, and everyone was like, wait, what the fuck happened? And so now those three men are finally charged Finally. And I guess we'll just await sentencing. Hopefully they get the rest of their lives. And seriously, they were older dudes. So if they get 10, 15, 20 years, they'll probably die by the time they're done. But anyways, okay, I wanted to make sure that
we
acknowledge that because last week we saw Kyle Rittenhouse was
acquitted.
He was acquitted of all charges for literally murdering two people. But so bad news then good news. So
for sure.
Anyways,
yeah,
it's been a while since we've been here. We don't have a lot of topics. Like I had stuff like written
so
down.
So much has passed.
I was like, do we talk about Danny Lay and the baby?
Yeah.
Like, what do we get into this week?
Exactly. I mean, I feel like that's probably the most recent one. What did you think about that? About the whole thing.
I think that DaBaby was extremely inconsiderate for filming her while she was breastfeeding their child and was trying – say that again?
I didn't see that one.
Yeah. In the mic, bud. In the mic. like the first video, I'm hot. This shot is making me sweat right now.
Awesome.
The first video he posted on live was it was like her breastfeeding their baby in bed. Mm-hmm. And he was like, oh, I'm putting this on lives for I don't know, whatever.
To protect themselves.
Yeah, to protect myself.
Who put who on live first? That's what I want
to know. DaBaby took Danny Lay's phone and went on her live. On her phone.
Well, I had no
she
idea.
She was literally laying in bed feeding their child.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
So, okay. Never mind. That's a whole different
perspective. Does that give you a different?
Yeah. Because at first I was like, well, I thought she went on live first because it was from her profile. Maybe that was the first video I saw or like snippet that I saw. So I'm like, everybody's jumping on the baby going on live when she went on live first talking about I don't address things. For the public, usually, but blah, blah, blah. So I'm like, so why are you on live? But that makes sense.
Yeah, he did.
He was on some shit. Yeah. Oh, he's totally wrong.
That's not right,
he's totally wrong.
Okay, yeah. And like the he's whole totally thing wrong. Was like, but.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
So we don't know what Danny Lay said to him before they got on live.
Okay, what do you think?
What she said.
Well, we don't know if she put her hands on him or anything. We
well, okay, okay, and that's there the are, other side of this because at the end of the day, Danny Lay was charged with like simple assault or something like that.
But let me just say this: everyone
can't put your hands on people.
No, you can't. But everyone is saying like, oh yeah, but he has the right to record. Okay, but record on your personal phone for evidence.
I don't get why he went
you
on,
go
live.
On live.
That but that's just the sense. Era we live in. We live in that era.
Era Shamara. I disagree.
Now, would I do that? Probably not.
No, but. I would record on my actual phone. I wouldn't go on live.
Yeah.
But I think what he did, he's trying to protect himself in this situation and also publicly before something got out to the public.
Yeah, like he was trying to get ahead of it.
Person.
You know what it reminds me of?
Black men to get painted as a bad person.
That's very true.
Especially with dealing with women.
He wanted it to be shown in real time, which I do understand. I do get that, especially in his case, he's been in the media for the worst of things lately.
He killed a guy.
Which is another thing. Okay, I wanted to talk about that because Danny Lay's brother, like this like super light skinned dude with like braids, is like, oh yeah, I'll
come
fight
the
baby.
Blah, blah.
Yeah, like he's I'm like
yeah, hang it up, hang it up.
No,
he's just
he called the baby an internet gangster. And I was like, didn't this nigga kill someone?
Yeah, I don't think he's just an internet gangster. But I do wanna say this though. When I initially like saw the whole thing and then I saw the videos that he posted about like he like aired her dirty laundry out there about her family. I do want to say that it smells like reactive abuse to me. So the fact that Danny Lay like possibly allegedly went crazy on him and hit him, I think it's because he possibly pushed her buttons to do
her.
So. Definitely. Yeah, I think he triggered her. So
pushed
that,
her
and
buttons?
I feel like
okay,
yeah, and I feel
yeah.
like that's a very narcissistic trait. Well, I think it's a narcissistic trait to go on live and paint a dirty
picture he knew
about
he was dealing with
the
that.
Person that you're dealing with. I think that's very narcissistic. So when I first watched it, I was like, okay, Danny Lay was the first person who went on live. Okay, yeah, they're both weird and need to just
Which
put the phone
are.
Down.
Yeah.
But regardless. The fact that it was him taking her phone and went on live on her account in her phone, that
that says a lot, right? Yeah. Like that was the very first video that surfaced. Yeah.
Did need to get out of there. I do think it's stupid of him though to be like, oh, she's always been a side bitch. Like, no.
Well, yeah, like, okay.
He definitely was trying to play her just for yeah, the fans.
No, for sure.
Yeah, but you also, like, you don't have to do all that. I just don't understand why it's so easy for men to disrespect the mother of their children.
So easy.
Well, you know, well, let's just stop. I don't know what happened. Or
right.
What was,
yeah. I mean, of course, we weren't there.
But you know, you never know what women do to provoke a man to do what he does if you're not there. We were only going to know what we saw, and no one's going to tell us what wasn't on
what actually happened that night.
That's all I'm saying. Well, I know I'm being devil's advocate, and I know it's still 100%. Wrong to disrespect your BM. I get that.
Absolutely.
But you just really don't know what was said to this man to make him do that. Because every woman knows a man's triggers and what's going to make him snap.
That
and
is
I
very
feel like
true.
Vice versa with her, you know, allegedly like hitting him. I feel like that he triggered her to like react. That's what I'm saying. And I
mean,
because I've been
well,
there
okay, let's call
like
a spade a spade. This was a toxic relationship.
But period.
Yeah. This is why it's like, for me, I'm not like, people are like taking sides, like her side and his side.
Yeah.
And to me, I don't feel like there's a side to take. Mm-hmm. I feel like this was just a toxic relationship and they should just leave each other alone. Mm-hmm. I wish that she did not have a baby because that makes this whole situation even more fucked up.
I feel bad for
all
the women who carry
children are a blessing. So.
They are a blessing, but I also feel bad for you guys because you have to deal with that toxic person forever.
Forever.
Ladies, let me
you guys,
just
not
say
18 years, forever.
Let me say this one thing, ladies. If a man asks you to leave his house, leave his house.
You know, that seems to be a huge topic.
Yeah.
I don't understand why. There's so many women out here who they get into an argument or whatever with the man. Listen to me. This is before it gets physical. Before it gets physical, the man asks the woman, can you please leave my apartment or house? And these women like to just sit there on their couch and pout and say, no, I'm not leaving. Well, why? I'm asking you to leave.
Because I love you.
I'm asking you to leave on your own, Will, before I have to call somebody.
Like he called the cops. Yeah.
I don't want this
rightfully
to escalate.
So. No,
you know
rightfully so. But she was living with him for 3 months. So you're telling me in a span of an hour, I need to pack all my shit and my baby shit and leave? Come on.
And according to what she said.
We don't do this in the span of an hour, sweetheart.
Well, I mean, she was there to the wee early hour. The sun had risen and she was still there.
Yeah, no, but that's what I'm saying. She's going to pack 3 months worth of shit.
From what she said was, she was sleeping. She said that he was out. She cooked him dinner. They had sex. She fell asleep. And like in the middle of her sleep, he woke her up and kicked her out.
Give me a couple days. Disrespectful. Like, what the fuck? Give me 2 days. And you're in a state that you don't know anybody. Give her a break.
Give her 2 days.
I just pray that I am never, ever in that situation because I've been in situations where that could have happened to me and I don't know what I would do. I couldn't tell you what I would do. So
I'm trying to
stop pissing us off.
I've never been in that
situation. Toxic masculinity over here. We picked the wrong
worst
shot caller today.
He does not represent what Cocktail Murder stands for.
No, seriously, if you guys can't laugh with us, then maybe you shouldn't be here.
Exactly. I don't think I've ever been in that situation, but I do feel like giving her, first of all, waking her up out of her sleep, so not allowing her to slumber, and then by the morning being like, why are you still here? Are you supposed to be out? Like, come on, that's fucked up. 3 months worth of shit. I get, you know, if you're there for the weekend, you know, then yeah, leave. But you're in a whole completely different state raising your child with someone that you thought you had potential with.
Okay,
and you've been there for 3 months.
Didn't live with someone for like 3 months, but I packed my whole life from one state.
You did.
And moved to another state. And I lived with this boy for literally, you guys, like 4 days. And I had unpacked everything. Fuck that guy. I had unpacked. I mean, everything was unpacked. Everything was in the apartment. I took those 4 days to completely settle in. And we broke up on the fourth day. And my shit was out by that night.
Did you have this?
I'm like, but do you remember that?
No, I do remember that.
Out by that night.
But did you have like a support group around you?
Well, I did have my family.
And that's the difference is that she was alone. Like, you can't, you see what I'm saying? Yeah. She's alone. Yeah. And then
my family came and took all my, we packed all my shit.
On top of that, then you want to let her go out to figure her shit out in the middle of the night with your baby? That's insane.
I have been saying this for the past couple weeks. You kick me out and our baby. I'm not taking the baby, okay? You are keeping the baby.
Keep the kid.
You are not about to kick me out and think I'm going to pack everything up plus
to try to
child?
Figure it out. Yeah. No, and realistically, no. You can keep our kid. I have to figure my shit out. I don't want to bring my kid with me.
I don't think the baby would have had a problem with holding on to the kid. I really don't. I think he just wanted her to actively. Well, pack her shit, and it doesn't seem like she was willing to do that at all.
Yeah, but I mean, in most toxic relationships, you break up, you make up. So maybe she thought by the next morning.
She thought wrong.
But you can't. But going based on pattern, right? Because they broken up before.
Yeah.
Going based on pattern, you think, oh, okay, like whatever, we're just going through the cycle. We got into that argument.
The baby was involved,
blah, blah, blah.
Yeah,
that's
exactly.
Very true. No, yeah. That's very true. That it would be different.
It does. I do think some women do tend to, like, when they have a baby, they tend to use the baby kind of as like,
don't use that baby,
a weapon.
Yeah,
you know?
No.
I don't think that that's cool. Let me tell you something. I saw a video of Danny laying the baby a long time ago, and in the video, he like yanks her by her hair and starts dog walking her in the video, and that's when I knew that's not the type of relationship I want to be in.
It's just like it's you're letting down your boundaries for blatant disrespect, and that's why he felt too comfortable.
Boundaries and morals. I'll be damned if somebody if a nigga want to walk me like a dog, you
at least not on a video.
I mean,
you can walk me like a dog any day, but not on the video and publicize it. But like, it's like one of those things, though. It's like you. Clearly, she did not set those boundaries, and he felt too comfortable to go on live and disrespect her like that.
And, you know, I don't want to speculate
and I'm not
on their entire relationship.
I'm not victim blaming or anything.
But all that was fucked up, all of it.
The whole
everything
thing is just toxic.
Everything about it. On both sides, it was all fucked
we
up.
We all can relate to it one way or another, basically. But
I mean, I didn't really have much else. I had Adele. Her new album is crazy.
Oh,
I know we've been talking about that forever.
I love her so much.
Silksonic was crazy. Summer Walker was crazy.
Summer Walker was
even though she's she just got her new boyfriend's name tatted on her forehead. And I guess
how long have they been together, though? Because this might be it for her. Who knows?
Her and London on a Track just broke up.
People move fast, especially the industry is a very fast-paced environment.
Let's talk about it, Shot Caller. What you think about that?
They do pass each other. They do pass each other around. I will say that.
Damn.
We don't. I don't know, like, if they cheating behind the scenes, because it feels like they break up with one and they are already on to another.
Next, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So I don't know what's going on. They need to just protect yourselves.
What do you think about getting your SO's significant other's name tatted?
Oh, I mean, that's cool. It's a really cool thing to do. I feel like if you guys can agree to do it, you should do it. I mean, even if you don't agree to both parties to do it, just go for it. If you're feeling strongly about that person, if you're considering that, you shouldn't need the other person to do it too.
I agree with that. Yeah, I do agree with that. I don't ask me. I think it's stupid. I think it's the dumbest thing. I think it's the dumbest tattoo you could get, and especially on your forehead.
Yeah, we're not getting those.
Yeah, no, I don't think about crazy. I don't like face tattoos. I just think that if you both are super like 1,000% sure about each other, that even.
But who is ever 1,000% sure about each other?
Especially in 2021.
Yeah, like if you're 1,000% sure about that person, like no matter what, they're not going anywhere, you're not going anywhere, then I think that it makes sense. What mostly makes sense to me are like getting maybe similar tats. So maybe not each other's names.
I am always
like,
down for that.
A similar tat where like if God forbid something happens, then like then it's just a regular tattoo. But if but when you're together, it means something. It's significant.
Right, exactly. But, I like that. I like similar tattoos. I wouldn't even really mind a matching tattoo, but I just wouldn't get someone's name. I think something significant to my significant
other. You just have to be sure about them. That's all.
I say if you're married, then go ahead and get it wherever you want. But if you guys aren't married yet, then get it somewhere that can be easily hidden.
But even then, people get married
and divorced.
Especially nowadays, it's nothing for people to get a divorce.
I know this girl. Oh my gosh. She had a tramp stamp of her ex-husband's name. It is across her whole back.
Oh, wow.
And his name is like Damien or like something crazy. Like, and it's huge on her back. And I say my homegirl. I haven't talked to her in a long time.
There is a cute tattoo story, though. I had a former co-worker and her and her husband, they both got a divorce, whatever, live some lives, they're older. Anyways, on her birthday, he surprised her with her name tatted on his arm.
Oh, that's a terrible and then, surprise.
No, but it's kind of cute because like they're like, I just feel like when an older couple gets together, like that's it. That means like, okay.
Oh,
like,
they're older?
Yeah, they're older, whatever. And then she got his name tatted on his birthday and how she surprised him with like – with sex, I guess. Anyways.
Tattoo and sex. That's great.
And like, I feel like it was like such a rock star story. It was so cute. Anyways, and then like she got his name tatted like near her vajayjay. But it was just like, I thought that was cute, like a surprise. But it's like, but the point is that you were making is like, they wanted to do that. It's not like I'm going to get this and you get it. And I don't know. Like felt like that.
Like,
they're
regardless
they're
if you get
married,
it or not. I'm
they're happily married
this.
And like, they seem super sure about each other and that's why they got it like randomly.
That's what's up.
What if you get a tattoo of someone's name and you surprise them and then they're like, why'd you get that?
That would be me.
I would die.
Why did you do that?
I would literally die.
I don't even like you like that.
I'd kill myself. I would break up with you. I'd be like, all right, well, we're done here.
Is it over?
We're done. I'm gonna get it covered.
Sorry. Okay.
Who's first?
I think I might be.
Yeah.
Or are you? Is it me?
Let's just say it's you.
All right. We'll go with me.
Okay.
Should we take a shot before I get into this?
Yeah. What do you mean, breathe, breathe?
Breathe, breathe. Don't tell me to breathe. TikTokers, for those of you who know.
Bring me a shot.
That's. Thank you for laughing with us. Chuka does it. Taj has no idea.
No idea.
Taj has no idea.
Please don't kill me for that. The new people that came here.
Oh, and someone called me a millennial. I'm a Gen Z.
I am
millennial. I just wanted to throw that out there. Okay. Also, one more thing. We have been doing themes.
Yes.
This theme is
Missing Black Boys.
Missing Black Boys. So, yeah, let's get into it. Let's take the shot.
Yeah, cheers. Ring to it when you said that. Missing Black Boys. Like, what?
I'm
too excited about that.
Oh, I'm not.
We have reports.
I'll say it better. Missing Black Boys.
Missing Black Boys.
Oh, I tried to say that after a shot. That was not.
I think I should start speaking in a monotone now so people.
Please don't.
So people don't think that I'm sick.
We're a little sick.
Just
to do this job, you have to be a little sick.
Just like a tad bit.
Yeah.
Just a tad bit.
Okay. So my missing black boy this week is, his name is Jahi Turner.
Oh.
You know, I thought that we had covered this story before, but I was not completely sure and I could not find our notes on it. So I was like, maybe we didn't cover this.
The name
this.
Doesn't sound familiar. So.
Okay. All right, all my credit is going to the Charlie Project. I love the Charlie Project. Yeah, oh my definitely. Gosh, they are a website and it's really a database for missing people. Tells their stories, shows pictures of them, and really gives updates of anything.
Charlie, is that an acronym or
something? No, just the Charlie, Charley. So name. Check them out, you guys. Okay. And I say I'm giving credit to them because basically my whole story is just copy and pasted.
Basically. Love those. Oh, yeah. We're not professionals.
It's okay, guys.
Yeah, we're not investigators for
whoa,
real,
whoa,
for
whoa.
Real.
Whoa, it's okay. Chill.
Is that another TikTok? Or?
No.
Oh. Okay.
It's just me.
All right. Serious face, you guys.
Oh,
okay.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Jahi Turner was the only son of Tamika Jones. Tamika lived in Maryland and also served in the Navy. Her baby's dad had been sent to prison and was never really in Jahi's life at all. So she got help from her grandmother, who also lived in Maryland. Tamika met Tyree Jones, fell in love, and he became her husband and stepfather to her son, Jahi. The three made their way to San Diego due to Tamika's job sending her there, and she was sent out on deployment, which we all know lasts many, many months. And that is why Jahi was left in the sole care of his stepfather, Tyree Jones. On April 23rd, Tamika called Tyree and Jahi like she always did to check on them. Tyree told her everything was all good and then gave her a report of how Jahi was doing, like a parent would. This particular phone call, he told her that Jahi had fell off the bed and hit his head on the dresser. He was totally fine, but he did have a bump on his head and, like, you know, kid shit, though. You know, kids always have bumps and scrapes and bruises. They fall, fucking they kids are crazy. I'm telling you, a kid will fall down a flight of stairs, for real, and like,
be okay.
And be laughing about it. He also said that he had wet the bed the previous night. And she asked to talk to Jahi and Tyree. She asked to talk to Jahi, and Tyree put him on the phone. And she said that he made a few noises and then just said bye.
How old is he again? The kid?
Jahi's 2 years old. On April 25th, Tamika, who didn't have any cell service earlier that day, when she was finally able to check her phone and her messages, she saw that she received two messages from Tyree, who asked that she get in touch with him as soon as possible because there was an emergency. By the time she was able to get a hold of him again, Tyree had reported Jahi missing.
No!
Yes, girl. 2 years old.
Fuck.
That's scary.
I mean, we talked about it too. Like, we would literally panic if one of our nieces and nephews, when they were really younger, if they were missing. I panicked when I had no idea where Charlie was one time when I brought him to a park, you know, and I turned around and he wasn't there. Charlie is the puppers, by the way.
You didn't tell me about this.
My
poor dog.
It was a gated open field, guys. Come on.
Got it.
But I turned around, but he wasn't, like, right beside me, and I freaked out for a bit, you know? And also, I was like, Tasha is going to kill me.
Right. Okay. So, Tyree said that they had went to a playground in Balboa Park. Mm. If you guys know San Diego, you know Balboa Park is such a huge, you know, place to go.
I know what you did there.
So he said that he left Jahi near the sandbox while he purchased a soda from a nearby vending machine. He stated that a woman and two children were near the area at the time, and he claimed that Jahi had vanished by the time he returned from the vending machine. Mm-hmm.
I think you've mentioned this case before. We haven't covered it, but okay. You did mention it. We talked about it on one of our lives.
Okay, Tyree searched the park and also walked around the block looking for him for 15 to 20 minutes, then called 911 to report the disappearance around 2:30 p.m. An extensive search of the area produced no clues as to Jahi's whereabouts. Authorities announced that Tyree said that he left his stepson unattended for approximately 15 minutes, but Tyree denied that statement, saying that it was much less than that. He said it was the time to go to the vending machine, get a soda, and come right back, which would be less than 15 minutes. Yeah. Investigators released a sketch of the woman that Tyree saw in the Balboa Park area on the day Jahi disappeared. Authorities identified the woman several days later, but after they followed up with her, she was no longer considered a suspect. So they never said what happened that made her not be a suspect anymore, but basically they were like, okay, she's not the person of interest.
Shit.
Officials were reportedly unable to locate Jahi's fingerprints on the playground equipment or any witnesses who saw him in the park that day. Although police were able to locate everyone who was at the park between noon and 3 p.m. Weird, right?
Suspect as fuck.
This prompted speculation that the child never visited the area at all.
There it is.
In addition, the police were puzzled as to why Tyree would have taken Jahai to Balboa Park, which was a mile away from their home, when there was a park right across the parking lot from their apartment complex. And Tyree had been seen bringing Jahai to the playground across the street or across the complex or whatever before. Mm. So it was like, so why all of a sudden
the
Balboa Park? Authorities stated that the last confirmed sighting of Jahai took place on April 22nd, and that was 2 days prior to the reported disappearance. And that was when a neighbor had said that they saw him playing at that complex or at that playground that was a part of the complex. Multiple witnesses saw Tyree carry one or more large trash bags to the apartment complex dumpster on the morning of April 24th. It's possible he made multiple trips, but when police asked him about it, he denied having taken out the trash that day or whatever. Authorities they don't know what was in the bags because the contents in the dumpster had probably been taken to a dump by that time. And yeah, so they couldn't really get anything from that except, yeah, he was seen taking trash bags. Which even if he really did take trash bags, it could have been trash. You know, it's like you can't really like say his son was in there, you know? Okay.
But.
But you could say.
But you can kind of speculate.
You can allege.
Yeah.
Okay. Although no one except Tyree saw Jahai after April 23rd, witnesses did see Tyree alone on April 25th. One person saw him walking on Cedar Street towards his apartment complex at noon, and three others saw him going into his apartment complex at 12:15. But Tyree had claimed that during this time period, he was with Jahai inside their apartment, and he had no explanation for the discrepancy. So he was saying he was inside the apartment the whole time with his son, and that's why maybe nobody saw his son after that certain day, because they just had been in the house. But his neighbors were like, but no, I saw him by himself the last couple days, so whatever. Okay, both Tamika and Tyree kept daily diaries for each other to read while they were apart. Because remember, she's on deployment, which I can only imagine being a mother on deployment and your son is missing. Like, and there's not really anything you can do about that, you know? Investigators read Tyree's diary and stated some of the entries indicate Jahai was harmed before his disappearance. On April 23rd, Tyree wrote, "Today, for some reason, Jahai hasn't been moving or really talking. Jahai is starting to act really funny and he won't get up off the floor. He's not walking or talking when I tell him to get his cup and he just looks at me. I know it's going to take some time, but I don't want him hating me for something I can't control. The bump on his head has gone down. I put ice on it and it got a little red." That's creepy as fuck.
Why?
Dude.
So he wrote this.
He wrote this. Yeah.
Like he's keeping
this is
track.
Like in his journal entry.
That's fucking sus.
Yeah, like why did you even
You only
write
have
that?
Journals for yourself, not in reflection, not
yeah.
on a child.
And
I don't
this
understand.
This is supposedly for him and his wife to like trade. So like when she gets back or whatever.
So
does she care?
Yeah, like so he's writing this
and excuse
knowing
me if I'm,
that she's gonna read
excuse
this.
Excuse me if I'm wrong, but do the details matter like that? Details like that? Like the bump on the head went down and I don't know. I feel like I wouldn't even, but I feel like I wouldn't disclose that. I feel like I would just be like, oh yeah, everything was fine.
Well,
we did have to go to the hospital, so we're good.
Well, like, I think when everything is fine, maybe you would just say whatever, like, oh,
details.
He's like kind of being weird. Like he's acting weird, you know?
Okay.
Because
he would
give her reports. Like he's a 2-year-old kid. So he's telling his mother too, like, kind of his day, like, yeah, we did this and he was acting like this and he said this, you know, like,
but I feel like that's like a job of like a fucking babysitter, not a, you know what I mean? I don't know,
not his stepdad.
I feel like it would be like, oh yeah, this is the memories we shared together, the, you know, I feel like I would write it in that sense, like, oh yeah, this, you know,
yeah.
Like for instance,
well,
like
I guess he's just more
kinda
literal.
You gotta know how they planned on.
Yeah,
true.
Because and also it's not like this has been his father or his stepfather for a long time either. Like they got married, moved to California, and then she left for deployment. So it's not like their father. And yeah. Yeah, you know? Like,
I think it's fishy, though. I think it's weird.
Well, yeah. I mean,
If I were the mom, I'd be like, okay.
Or if he was like, oh, he had a good day, you'd probably be like, tell me what's up with my kid. Like, yeah, what's up? True. You know, like, you know, you might want more. Just depends on the person.
We ate this today. And, you know, I guess those are the details that make sense to me. Not.
Yeah. Well, I guess whatever. Yeah. Just depends on the person.
And not exactly. And saying like, oh, it's something that I can't control. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, that's so weird.
Well, would you want to know that if a motherfucker hit your son and left a mark?
I guess, but not
whether it was past tense or not.
Yeah, but I want to know more. Like, I want to be like, okay, but is he better? He's better. Okay, so what'd you guys eat today? Then you know, like, I don't know, just more than just
that. You would say that for the phone.
Well, I mean, this could be like, and not to like stray too far from the topic, but because he had already told her he bumped his head. So maybe he was just letting her know, like, yeah, he's acting a little funny, but the bump has gone down, and
it's more of a concerning.
And again, this is just writing in a journal too. It's not like
might be cold for our body slammed his ass. I'm sorry.
Hey yo. Okay, back on the story. Okay. Okay, in diary entries dated 10:30 a.m. on April 24th and on 8:54 on April 25th, Tyrae made no further references to any injury to Jahi or any unusual behavior on the child's part. Instead, he wrote about toilet training him, bathing him, and taking him to the park. Okay, so that's why. Okay. So I feel like previously he was just saying that stuff on, like, he didn't think anything was wrong. Mm-hmm. He was just writing it out.
Just a report.
Whereas it kind of sounds like the next day, April 24th and 25th, maybe shit started to get kind of like weird or by this time, maybe like he knew he was like missing or something like that. And so then he like switched it up, like, oh, saying that he has an injury on his head sounds bad, so let's stay away from that and just talk about toilet training and shit I'm supposed to do, you know? I don't know.
Yeah, no, yeah. I guess I'm like overanalyzing it right now, too early on.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Okay, so Tyrae complained about frustration over financial matters. He was short of money, and although Tamika had given him a debit card to use while she was deployed, would I do that? Probably not.
Absolutely not.
he was having trouble using it and accessing the funds in her account. That part. Okay. He also wrote that they were running out of food.
Excuse me, sir.
However, when investigators checked their apartment, there was plenty of food. Jahi had been given a bag of cookies shortly before his disappearance, or so they said, but none of them had been eaten. So that was also something that they noticed. Yeah. Of course, with all of this information, there was no hard evidence that Tyrae had anything to do with Jahi's disappearance. Instead, Tamika and Tyrae worked together to find Jahi. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, Jahi's case began to grow cold. Mm. Okay, I'm almost done, guys.
No, you're fine.
In October 2004, Tyrae was arrested on attempted murder and assault charges that had nothing to do with Jahi's disappearance. However, all of the charges were dropped after witnesses were unavailable to testify. Isn't that crazy that witnesses, like, if they don't show up, then your case gets dropped? Like, isn't that crazy?
Yeah, I feel like that, like, the money that we put into investigators, the taxes that we give them, that they should put more work towards cases like that where there are no directions. And I feel like more you see what I'm saying? I feel like more of the resources, the money that they spend on resources should be on cases like that, like where there are no witnesses, you don't know where to turn, you know?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree.
Not to stray away from those with witnesses.
A lot of those are just cold cases.
Exactly.
Okay. So, All right. Although it seemed like Jahi's case was just going to be a cold case, investigators were still looking to find out what happened. In 2016, Ty Ray was arrested and charged in the murder of Jahi Turner.
Oh, shit. Okay.
They were able to get an arrest warrant based on his diary entries that suggested that Jahi was injured. A specialist in child abuse said that the symptoms Ty Ray described in the diary are consistent with either a serious head injury or blunt force abdominal trauma, either of which could be fatal if left untreated. The child abuse expert also noted that Jahi had a bedwetting problem, and bedwetting can trigger child abuse in caregivers. Mm-hmm. Ty Ray had written in his diary and also told Tamika that Jahi wet the bed on the night previously to him, to his disappearance. So that is like very interesting, right? Mm-hmm. Where, and that's why I say maybe when he was giving all of those details in his journal, he could have possibly like hit him or abused him in some type of way for the bedwetting. And this is all speculation, but he could have abused him for bedwetting and probably was like super upset about that, whatever. Couldn't control his temper, hit him. And then that's when Jahi started to like kind of like daze out. He said he wasn't listening, saying he was moving slowly, wasn't getting off of the floor. So he's probably writing this in his little journal, not thinking anything of it. Mm-hmm. But then I feel like maybe Jahi being left untreated mm-hmm. for whatever blunt force trauma he endured, maybe he died. And mm-hmm. that's when Ty Ray was like, oh shit.
I have to do something.
Yeah. Like, and that's yep. when he stopped writing about any injury. He just started writing about toilet training. Mm-hmm. That's when he started writing about that, making it seem like that's not why I was upset, exactly. you know, like whatever. So
trying to solve whatever problem there was with the bedwetting.
And, right. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. One of Jahi's onesies and his blanket, which were found in the apartment, tested positive for his own blood. And investigators found a pair of Jahi's pajamas in the truck of Tyree's car that also had blood on them. Tamika, when asked, said that there was no reason for any of her son's clothes to be in Tyree's car, which is like kind of, that's his stepdad, so maybe there would be clothes mm-hmm. in his car, or maybe not, I don't know. I mean, you know.
At two.
Yeah, I didn't quite understand that part, but whatever. Mm-hmm. Investigators also found some of Jahi's and Tamika's clothing mixed together in a dumpster near the family's apartment. And Tamika said that they had never spoke about throwing out any clothes or anything like that. In March of 2018, Tyree's trial began. He maintained his innocence and testified in his own defense. Why? Why do people do that?
Stop doing that.
Stop doing
God.
That.
Stop.
kind of worked because
no.
the judge dismissed the charge of child abuse resulting in death, noting the lack of substantial physical evidence. But remember, he was also charged in murder. The jury was unable to reach a verdict, deadlocking at 10-2 for acquittal. A mistrial had been declared. A judge decided that Tyree would not face the jury again for a second trial, stating the prosecution's case was weak and there was no way a jury could find Tyree guilty based on the evidence available. And basically they said it was unlikely that any new witnesses would come forward at this point, or they would get any new information on the case or anything like that. So it wouldn't even go to a second trial. The judge dismissed the murder charge against Tyree. No. Jahi was 2 years old and his mother is still fighting to find him. And that
that's not
my missing black boy.
Oh my God.
That was so much information, but like this story was just so crazy. And I'm like, this is my hometown. So, I mean, not that San Diego's a town, but but I frequent Balboa Park all the time. And so it just kind of hit home a little bit, I think, for me.
Yeah, I guess it just sucks with cases like this when you kind of have a big idea of who could have been responsible mm-hmm. for like the death or the disappearance of someone, especially a child.
Yeah.
Given that the two-year-old was only in the hands of
one person,
and that one person seemed to, my thing is, if you're gonna take notes, like detailed notes, how
it was so detailed,
how are you not detailed about who was at the park and could have taken your steps in? How are you not so a bird's eyes like focused your stepson for even a split second?
That's what I'm saying. They could have at even least in the entry, charged him with child neglect, leaving your kid at the playground. I mean, I'm not a parent, so I don't know how it is, but leaving a child at the playground, walking away. I don't know if that's a normal thing.
To get something at the vending machine? No. I mean, I don't know
if it is, but when the child disappears, I feel like you need to be charged with something.
I remember being like 15 years old, taking one of our nieces to the park, and like she was super young, and I walked off somewhere, but even as I was walking off, I was constantly turning my head watching her. Know what I mean? So for someone who keeps detailed notes mm-hmm. in a journal, why wouldn't you constantly turn your head? Is that not like instinctual for you to do that?
Once again, if they even went to the park, they found every single person that was at the park during that time, except him and Jahai.
Yeah, no.
They couldn't find they found everybody else's fingerprints. They found everything of everyone else.
Could anyone at the park identify Tyrae?
No, that's what they were saying. No one there even knew who he was.
He wasn't there.
So if evidence points to the fact that he wasn't even there that day.
Yeah.
But you also can't prove that either, you know, like he could have been there, he could not have been there, you know. It would have been easier to prove he was there than to prove he's not there.
I can imagine, like, let's say there's an investigator that knocks on the door right now and they're like, oh, we have record that you were at freaking Vaughn's at 7 p.m. on this day. Do you recognize his face? Like, I'm gonna say no.
You don't pay attention to other kids.
You don't pay attention to other people around you.
You're
just
kind of doing your own thing.
Yeah. So that
and I'm like, Balboa Park is freaking huge. Even if they were at one playground, it's a huge place. So
it's huge. Wow.
Unfortunately, we still don't know where Jahai is, whether it's him, his body, and once again, the last update that I saw was November of 2020, and his mother is still searching for him.
Oh, well, if you know anything,
absolutely,
please say something. Ladies and gents, it's time for my story. Let's take the shot before we get into mine.
Oh my gosh, you're trying to get me drunk.
I am.
You guys, I have an 8 a.m. flight.
I know. I was going to say, you know why? Because it's your birthday in a couple weeks. And that's Charlie.
Charlie.
Hey, bud, please be quiet.
Oh, it's because I was tapping the table.
Oh, yeah. For the dirt. He tries to protect us.
Yeah.
Okay, so cheers.
Cheers.
I'm so jelly of your trip.
Ooh, yeah. It's so funny. On TikTok, someone was like, she has a wine glass in her hand. Like, why does she have a wine glass? And someone else was like, cocktail murder, duh.
Emphasis on cocktail. Someone else said, I like the wine glass added a different vibe
to it.
I loved it. Good. I was like, aww.
Thanks. Give us more feedback, guys, please.
I know. Please give us
more. We don't know what the fuck we're doing.
Listen, and I'll speed up. Jesus Christ. Stop coming for me. Stop coming for me. Like, goddamn. I'm trying. Good story, but I'm going to need you to hurry up. Like, damn. I know.
I'm trying to hurry.
I'm trying. It's because I'm used to podcasting. So it's
right.
A little different.
Can just talk and talk.
It's a little different. Okay. TikTok is ruthless, man. Love you guys, though. Okay. My story, I'm going to get right into this, but I got most of my information from Bustle and various other articles, but mainly from Bustle, and here we go. On May 18th of 1989, two-year-old Christopher Dansby went with his mother, Allison, to the Martin Luther King Jr. Towers Playground at 113th Street and Lenox Avenue in Harlem, New York. At one point, Allison decided to go to the store to buy food. Since we talk about parents leaving their children,
mm-hmm.
it's another one of those cases. Again, this is 1989. It's a little different, mm-hmm. I guess. Anyways, since she did not have his stroller with her, she decided to leave him with several relatives at the park. Relatives mainly meaning neighbors that she knew in the complex that they lived in.
What's up with the park? Like,
man. Okay. When she returned a half hour later, he was gone. Freaking out, she asked the relatives or the neighbors where he was, and they said that they last saw him playing with the red ball. Allison panicked because they did not arrive to the park with the red ball. She immediately calls the police to let them know that her child was missing. They sent out missing child's posters and asked around the neighborhood for any clues. There was one sighting of Christopher and an African-American male, but that would be the last known sighting of Christopher.
Hmm.
3 months later, on August 10th, 1989, one-year-old Shane Walker vanished from the same area of the Martin Luther King Jr. Towers playground. There were many similarities between both cases. Both were African-American toddlers that lived in the same apartment building. Both disappeared on the same day of the week, which was a Thursday, late in the afternoon and early evening. So, like, okay. It was like around 3 or some 4.
Serial number.
And both played with the same two children shortly before their disappearances.
Mm.
Despite the similarities, police at that time were not certain that both cases were related. So,
okay.
So this, yeah. So the same kind of thing happened with Christopher, where the investigation kind of just fell off. It went cold. They didn't know what was going on because no one really said anything except for the last sightings of them.
Yeah, but what I don't get is like leaving your kid with like your neighbors or like saying like, "Hey, can you watch him real quick? I'm gonna go to the store. I'll be right back." And then he goes missing. Like, so y'all wasn't watching him?
I thought the same thing.
Don't say okay or yes.
Yeah. You're not. I thought the same thing. I couldn't imagine, like, the anger that she had when she came back. When her child's gone and their children are not gone, but my kid is gone.
Yeah, and all they have to say was, like, he was with some black dude.
I didn't ask you to watch my purse. I asked you to watch my child.
My child.
You know what I mean? Because belongings are replaceable, but my child, you didn't keep a close eye on my child.
That's not, that is not cool.
I couldn't imagine. Like, and then thinking that, like, you go to the store for a few minutes, right? I'm sure as a mom, she's probably still in the back of her head, like, I hope Christopher is okay. I hope he's okay.
Yeah, right.
Then she, you know,
goes I'm sure up she tried to hurry back.
Like, exactly. She wasn't, like... It was only a half hour window. So it was a half hour window.
Yeah.
And then she came back thinking, okay, well, you know what? He might be in good hands. So he's fine. And knowing that he wasn't in good hands because. He went
and all
missing.
They had to say was he was playing with a red ball. Like,
Well, last time I saw him, he was playing with a red ball. Yeah, like I would go crazy.
Oh my God, I would tear. Oh my gosh,
go crazy.
Yeah.
So both Shane and Christopher were your average toddlers, very cheerful, close to their mothers. The mothers were not close, however, given they were in the same apartment building, they shared mutual friends and neighbors who all had the same opinion about the boys. That again, they were just your average toddlers. They're happy about everything, honestly.
Yeah.
Initially, the investigators thought that someone who could not have children would kidnap kids. This is a theory that to this day people are still going by.
Mm-hmm.
That it could be someone, again, who simply probably are unable to adopt because they don't have the means to do so,
mm-hmm.
and just don't. They can't have children.
Mm-hmm.
And I would like to add my opinion and say that if I were to kidnap a child due to not being able to bear children or have the means to adopt a child, I would not kidnap two.
Yeah.
3 months apart, I would only kidnap one and keep it pushing.
Yeah, and I probably wouldn't kidnap them from a playground.
I wouldn't kidnap just one.
Or from an apartment
and,
complex?
Yeah, and I would not kidnap another one on the same weekend around the same time at the same park. Like, I wouldn't keep that pattern
going. And
it
wouldn't be a toddler. It'd be like a baby.
It'd be a baby. Exactly. Because, like, the toddler
no
could...
Suspect.
Yeah, but a baby, like, I would want my baby, if I were to kidnap a baby, to grow up and think that at least they were adopted, at the very least. But not like a toddler
knows their mom.
Yeah, a toddler carries memories. Like, they can unlock those memories.
And also be programmed to forget those, too. Or not forget them.
Like block that out. Yeah,
that's true. That's true.
You still have mind control over it, too.
True. Something I want to add is that Elaine Rosenfeld, head of the Louise Wise Services Adoption Agency, said that there is a black market for solely white babies and can't imagine a black market for black babies. I wanted to put this quote out there.
Whoa.
Elaine Rosenfeld, head of the Louise Wise Services Adoption Agency, said that shit. And I
wanted
to put...
That's why they call it the black fucking market.
So I wanted... Right. I wanted to put this quote out there because this is why cocktail murder exists. Because there's a notion that bad, horrible things can only happen to white people when that's not the fucking case at all.
Exactly.
It happens to our people. And this is just an example that there's no protection for our children, women, and men, specifically for this ignorant way of thinking. So mm-hmm. I just wanted to share that out there, that mm-hmm. people really did and probably still do think that way now. And this is why we have this platform.
They're uninformed, though, because even in pop culture and movies, you see more people trying to get a hold of a black person and sell their organs than more so a white person.
And you know what? And I think that's awesome for you to say that, but I would also like to rebuttal and say that. No.
I didn't mean it as a compliment. It's all fucked up.
No, I'm saying that it's 2021. So if you're basing your information off of movies, then get a grip. You see what I'm saying?
Well, yeah.
Like, and that's it. My thing is that it can be an excuse for people to think this way, I suppose, due to pop culture. But again, if you're basing your information based off of pop culture and what you see on TV, rather than like how this shit could actually happen to little black boys and girls, and how there is human trafficking for our community, she thought white babies were being more trafficked than minority babies.
I said what I said about pop culture to say that I was negating what she said, that she's wrong about that.
Oh no, yeah, for sure. Exactly, yeah. So it's, but she took it out of, she, yeah. It's the way of thinking due to fucking what she sees and what's portrayed in the media.
Yeah.
You know?
That's
but I'm saying like it's 2021, so fucking like.
She's clearly a bigot.
Yeah. So, this leads to the next theory that it is a black market or a drug-related theory. So Captain Spence, one of the main investigators of this case, had mentioned that it is unlikely that children would be kidnapped for adoption purposes solely, that he hasn't came across, like, statistically hasn't came across cases like that, mm-hmm. and that they were...
And this is in the 80s.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And that they were definitely kidnapped for illegal dealings. Plus, the boys played with the same children, so perhaps the children were in cahoots with this specific kidnapper to get the boys for... whether they're dealing,
the
I don't know
children?
If it's for drugs or what. So remember,
like the children's parents.
No. So remember how I mentioned earlier that they were both playing with the same kids.
So it was wild. The idea
that these kids were in cahoots
with a
kidnapper, or these kids go to the park at the same time every day.
Yeah, I mean,
you know what I mean. Especially if it's your complex park, You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't know. But also,
I mean, especially if it's a time where, like, a parent's got to go to the grocery store. You know, like, I don't know. Whatever.
Yeah.
Anyways.
Yeah, exactly. So that was another theory. And there was another theory that a family member had taken them both. Remember that, yeah, they were unrelated, but they had mutual friends and neighbors. Mm-hmm. So it could have been someone who knew the mothers and someone who knew the children. Although the mothers did not know each other.
Yeah, they had mutuals.
They had mutuals who were also close to them. So it could have been them. However, no one in the complex or the neighboring area is saying anything. And they're saying that no one saw anything.
Wait, so we don't know anything?
We don't know anything.
What?
unfortunately. I know, right? So, and this is why this case is so bizarre, because you have a park full of parents and a park full of children, and you have two boys on separate occasions in broad daylight go missing, and no one knows a thing, although the two boys are connected due to the neighborhood.
Oh, shit.
But no one is in the neighborhood saying that they know anything. They just mentioned the last time they saw them, which was last time I saw Christopher was with the ball. Last time I saw Shane, he was with so-and-so, or he was with the mom, but I didn't pay attention. No one pay attention to each other's babies, apparently. So, and I think that that's really odd. I really do.
Yeah. That's why I was so confused. Like, the neighbors had no idea, like, what was going on. Oh, he was just playing with the ball. That just doesn't sound like neighbors, you know?
Girl.
Or, like, relatives. Or anybody that you would be like, hey, can you watch my kid real quick?
Someone you would trust your child with. Albeit, it's 1989. You might have trusted anybody who had a nice face to watch your kid. And I don't know, because I did not live in that era, but from what I heard.
Yeah, but also 1989 was also like tribe, like people, I feel like. Mm. Like it was more like your neighbors.
Yeah, this is in Harlem.
Like you're in Harlem? Like,
at that.
Like, dude, your neighbors are like
in
your
the complex,
people.
In the complex park.
Yeah, those are your people.
Just to really narrow it down.
So whether or not you know them that well, I don't know. It just makes it. I don't know. In Harlem in the 80s, it makes sense that they would be like have that tribe mentality of like whoever's baby is out here, we looking out for your baby, for your kid, for your teenager, for your young adult. That's just how that's how I thought that it would have been.
That's how I thought it would have been too.
Well, I think I have a short story. This is a true story. I don't know if you guys seen the movie Paid in Full. It's based on a true story.
I love that movie.
A kid, he was actually like a grown kid. He's probably like 10 or 11 years old. He was kidnapped. He was kidnapped by his uncle, though. It was somebody he knew he was kidnapped by. So I think that
could be it.
That actually is
more common than we think it is. A family member
Harlem.
Kidnaps
Yeah, it happened
their
in Harlem.
Child.
It was like late 80s, early 90s. So I'm leaning towards them knowing the person.
And that very
I wouldn't
that
be
very,
surprised.
I wouldn't be surprised. Again, because these boys have a connection to each other. Although the moms don't know each other, the boys, like they share the same neighbors. It makes sense for it to be someone that they know.
Yeah, yeah. Especially if the boys weren't like, I know they were young, but if they weren't putting up a fight or anything like that, like,
oh, yo.
If it was somebody that they were familiar with, I'm sure that they just went up to them. Like, it wasn't like.
You know what? Which would make sense for the neighbors to kind of not really take a look at some stranger in the park.
Yeah, because maybe
they've seen
this person before.
That's so-and-so. Yeah. Like, whatever. So-and-so has them, you know? But whatever.
Yeah, and they didn't say, like, oh, he was playing with the ball and he was last seen with an African-American male while he was screaming and crying into the car.
No,
it was like he was just playing.
Yeah, like, oh, yeah, I've seen this guy before. They might have, the neighbors probably saw this guy before and just didn't bat an eye.
That's crazy. I would hate that they, like, were, like, sold into, like, this black market or something. And I know that kind of seems, like, far-fetched to a lot of people. But that actually happens a lot.
But that's the thing.
We actually know people, and I don't know if you know this, and I'll say their names off mic, but we know people who were, they were not sold, but somebody tried to sell them, basically, when they were little.
Yeah.
And I don't know what they were trying to sell them into, whether if it was adoption or if it was into drugs or like whatever. Mm-hmm. But like it happens a lot.
And it could be drug related, because we know personal stories of someone who and it happens. Okay, lastly, they believe it could have been a serial killer or serial pedophile. Many theorists have also linked Dansby and Walker's case. The last names. I hate saying the last names. I don't know why.
Me too. I hate that too.
Anyways, Shane and Christopher's cases to the case of Andre Bryant, a six-week-old who went missing in 1989 in Brooklyn.
Oh, wow.
However, Bryant's abduction, that MO was a little bit different. I guess the difference is that it's not in the same area. It wasn't on a Thursday, and the age is a little different. But 6 week 1-year-old and 2-year-old. That's kind of in the same peer group.
Yeah. And I mean, yeah, if it may not have been in the same area, but it's not that far away.
So, but the MO of his abduction made the link to Shane and Christopher a little weak in other sense. Mm-hmm. So until this day, we still have no idea what happened to Christopher and Shane. To be quite honest, the two theories that stick out to me are that makes sense would be like a relative kidnapping them both, someone in the neighborhood kidnapping them both on some weird shit, which also ties into being a serial pedophile or serial killer. Mm-hmm. And I just think that was an ML. There were multiple black babies that actually went missing in New York around that same year, around the same time. And I just think that Shane and Christopher, unfortunately, were a part of that victim list that the serial killer probably just never confessed to.
Yeah.
But anyways.
I mean, let's keep it a buck. Like, we, and when I say we, minors, BIPOC, black people, people of color, we go missing all the time.
All the time.
All the time.
And, you know, going back to the quote of what Elaine said, no one looks in that direction because they simply think that that we wouldn't be chosen to be a victim.
Yeah.
They don't. I just think that they don't think
the
that
empathy
we could,
isn't there.
Yeah, that we think that we could be a victim at all,
especially in the 80s and especially in Harlem.
Exactly. So, anyway, so that is the missing case of Christopher and Shane.
Wow, what a story!
Yeah.
Crazy.
Feels good to be back.
It does
honestly
feel good to be back.
That mini vacation that we took was great.
You know what?
It was
really great, but I did feel like we were gone for so long.
I felt like we were gone for too long.
I feel like it's been forever.
I felt like you guys were like, okay, so where the podcast at?
Or maybe y'all don't care. I don't know.
It's just
I can't
us.
Tell. Because nobody was really like,
where are you guys? Da-da-da.
There's no podcast today.
I know.
Like,
it's okay.
Whatever. I love you, but fuck you.
Yeah.
Fuck
love you.
You.
This is the toxic relationship that we are talking about. We are the toxic relationship. But no, seriously, you guys, thank you so much for tuning in.
Absolutely.
Thank you for, if you guys have been rocking with us since the beginning, thank you for still being here, honestly.
Dude, you guys are fucking dope.
You guys are dope. You guys are awesome. And we've been receiving suggestions. I do want to put out there, you know, since the beginning of this podcast, we talked about how we discuss or highlight black victims, people of color victims. I appreciate the suggestions of all other victims, such as white victims. I appreciate it. But please,
we just don't really cover those.
Yeah, we don't cover them. We will refer
everyone
you,
else does.
Yeah, right. We'll refer you to the other true crime podcasts if you want to hear those. But yeah, so when you do give us suggestions, we've got some really good ones. But please be sure that it is in line with our theme here. But yeah, so until then, let's cheers
it
out.
Clink, clink.